Good morning.
Good morning.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So many passages in Scripture, and our hearts echo them. We love God's Word. It's the most amazing, priceless treasure that we have. But sometimes we can forget just how precious it is. So God today is going to remind us of just how precious His Word is to us. So God be praised. That's what we get to celebrate and worship today. We'll open up with a very fitting hymn, therefore, Speak, O Lord. That's hymn 735. God bless your worship around the Word this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love Him and follow His commands. But we have disobeyed His commands and deserve only the wrath and punishment warned about in his word. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against your word and do not deserve the gracious love it reveals. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of the Word incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are covered with Christ's righteousness. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Grant us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do what is right, that we, trusting in and being guided by your word, may by your help be enabled to live according to your will.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated. As we worship about God's Word, surrounded by God's Word, we go to God's Word. In the first lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 3, Eli was a high priest who was a really terrible high priest in a lot of ways, but there was one thing that he knew about when the Lord spoke. Well, you'll see, from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. I did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord. Join together in the song, "Thy Word is a Lamp." The words are printed for you there on page 6.
Thank you.
The second lesson comes from Colossians chapter 3, where Paul reminds us that where the message of Christ dwells richly, we get to see the fruit of that message come forth. From Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. We speak together the verse of the day, very fitting as well, from Isaiah 55:11. Alleluia. My word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Alleluia. Please stand out of honor for the words and works of Jesus. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke chapter 10. This will serve as our sermon text for today. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and if there are any children who want to come forward for a children's sermon, you can come forward and meet me here at the front step. Or any children at heart that would like to come forward. Feel free. Come on up. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Good. Now, in school, you maybe haven't studied yet. You haven't maybe studied yet the laws of motion. The laws of motion are laws, physical laws, that talk about motion, right? Pretty simple. So, for example, one of the laws of motion is that if something that has force or momentum hits something else that it's at rest, guess what's going to happen? It's going to transfer that force or that energy onto that thing. Okay? So, for example, you get the idea. If that is at rest and I roll this basketball to it, what's going to happen? It's going to bounce, and what's going to happen to that ball? Yeah, it's going to move somewhere, right? So, easy peasy, you get the idea, it hits it. Now, the same thing can be said about you and I and God's Word. If you and I are there and God's Word hits us, guess what happens? It moves. Spiritually, it moves. As we said in Isaiah 55, the Lord's word does not return to him empty. It is living and it is active. The word of God strikes it and things happen. And that's why if it keeps striking us and striking us, guess what happens? As Paul says, the message of Christ will dwell in us richly and you'll see all of these things happen. So we hear about God's forgiveness. Guess what? We forgive others. We hear about God's compassion. We have compassion. We hear about God's love. We have love. We sing about God's word and all that. It really brings joy and thankfulness into our hearts. So the more it hits us, the more and more and more we move. Now, another law of motion is that an object at rest will always remain at rest until a force is acted upon it, until something happens to it. So what happens if I don't throw this ball? What's going to happen? It's not going to move. It's going to stay right there, right? Or even if, say, I go like this and I miss it, is that going to do anything? No, didn't move. Same thing for you and I. If we're not coming in contact with God's word, we're not moving spiritually. Things aren't going to happen. If we're not hearing about God's love, it's harder for us to love. If we're not hearing about his compassion, it's harder for us to have compassion. And sometimes we can even be here and physically hearing it, but we don't listen. And we miss it. We miss that opportunity. Maybe we don't pay attention when the word is spoken, or when it's preached, or when we pray these beautiful truths. And yet, do you know the amazing thing? The gracious thing from God? It's that his word is still given to us. He still puts us in motion. He still, over and over again, tries to come in contact with us through his word. So let's say a prayer thanking him for that, but also asking for more of that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us your word. Lord, forgive us for the times when we don't listen or when we don't come in contact with it. Thank you, Lord, for graciously sending us Christ, the word incarnate, so that we can really have life and have it to the full. Now, Lord, let the message of Christ dwell among us richly so that we can be your people, so that other people can know about you too. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats, and we'll continue with hymn 283, Speak, Lord, Servant is Listening. God's grace and peace are yours through the Word incarnate, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from Luke chapter 10. If you'd like to follow along, that's the gospel lesson. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips. My mouth will declare your word. Amen. A poll done last year asked American Christians their reasons for going to church. The top four reasons by a wide margin: to become closer to God, so their children will have a moral foundation, to make me a better person, and for comfort in times of trouble or sorrow. Now, when you talk about those reasons and you look at what we celebrate in worship as God's people, and especially here, it couldn't be a better match. Right? We get to come here and surround ourselves, focus on God's Word. And there is nothing that is more priceless treasure than that. We get to sit at our Lord's feet and listen and learn from Him. Countless people wish that God would speak to them. Well, here we have it. God gives revelation from Him to us. And what we hear in God's Word when we come and listen to Him, that's unequaled too. It's basically a record of promises made and kept. And if you're looking for closeness and comfort from God, those promises are where it's at. Think about the promise of salvation from sin and forgiveness and peace with God. You think about the fact that the Holy Spirit works through this, God says, to give us new life so that we can glorify Him and live according to His will, as we just prayed in the prayer of the day. He even gives us His word so that we know exactly how to glorify Him and do His will. In a culture with so much deception and fake news, we want a good moral foundation for our children. Well, what better than the God-breathed Bible as a source of truth? And on top of all of that, it says in here that we are going to get to have a life someday where we won't have to worry about questions, we won't have to worry about deception or enduring turmoil. We'll get to live with God forever. There really is nothing better than this thing. And the Lord invites us to come and sit at His feet. But the question we're going to ask today is, how good are you at accepting that invitation? Sadly, a lot of things can pull us away from listening to God's word. A good example of that is found in our gospel lesson with Martha. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. Literally, it's listening to His word. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." First of all, you can see a lot of evidence here of Martha's faith in Jesus. She knows He's the Savior, and so she opens her home to Him. She even opens it to His disciples. And when she does that, that means that she has to prepare food, so she has to give them all water, she has to cut the vegetables, she has to prepare the meat, and any other courses or anything else that she's offering. She has to set the table and so on. A lot of preparations to be made. But she doesn't mind doing it because she wants to honor Jesus. But she allows something to happen to her as she's doing that. And did you catch how Luke described it? It says, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. The picture behind that word distracted is being pulled away in every direction. She's being pulled away in every direction except sitting at the Lord's feet. Meanwhile, Mary, her sister, gets to sit there, and you can understand that Martha's like, "Well, that's unfair. I want to be doing that too, but I've got all these preparations to be made. Lord, tell her to come help me. We'll prepare everything and then we'll listen." We can all do that. That right there revealed the issue. And so Jesus wants to show that. He gives Martha a soft rebuke. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, a doubling of the name, showing tenderness and care for her. Martha, Martha, you're allowing so many things to pull you apart, and it's bringing turmoil to your heart. You're forgetting about the one thing that's needed, listening to my word. Martha, Martha, your priorities are all mixed up. So don't get on Mary's case. She's chosen what's better, and I'm not going to take it away from her. Can you see how this is a really good example for you and I? We allow so many things to pull us away from God's word. We struggle a lot of times, especially in this country, with prioritizing God's word. That was revealed quite a bit, actually, when we were in China and India. In China, we knew a number of Christians who would travel at least an hour on the subway each way, just so they could get to worship on Sundays. We had a Bible study, an in-home Bible study with college students. And it was finals week, and so I'm not expecting many people. And all of a sudden, it was one of our highest attended studies. And for some of them, that was their fourth Bible study that week. In India, if you took a drive on Sunday morning, you'd see people walking miles with a Bible in their hand on their way to church. It's kind of like we here in this country have allowed ourselves to become the Martha to their Mary. I'm not saying that they're better Christians, just that it reveals a lot about us. We struggle with prioritizing God's word in our lives. And sadly, the stats back that up. In other recent studies about worship attendance, 22% of American Christians said they attend worship every week. 10% said almost every week. 11% said about once a month. 25% said seldom. And 28% said never. So what does all of this mean? That means less than one-third of American Christians carve out 1 hour out of 7 days to listen to God's word and worship. That's 1 hour out of 168 hours, or 0.6%. Not 6%, 0.6% of their time for a week. 11% carve out 1 hour out of roughly 720 hours. That's 0.14% of their time for that month. And over half of Christians, it's less than that. And these are what we're saying in polls. Pollsters often say that when people answer questions like this, they usually inflate the truth. Now maybe you're thinking to yourself, okay, well that's studying God's word and worship. What about Bible study outside of worship? It's a fair point. 48% of American Christians say they attend a Bible study on a weekly basis. 48%. And that number is inflated by actually non-Christians, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. 26% feel the worship service is sufficient Bible study and therefore feel they don't need any more than that. Remember, that's 0.6% maximum. 23% say they don't have enough time to study the Bible. And get this, 58% of American Christians said they wished they studied the Bible more often. 58%. Isn't that a crazy stat? First of all, really, shouldn't that number be 100%? I mean, can we ever really get to the point, ideally, where we're just like, that's enough of God's word. I don't need any more. But even still, 58% are saying basically that they want to study God's word more, but obviously something's getting in the way. So we love God's word. We know the treasures that are in there. We know we should study it more, and we really do desire to study it more. So that leaves the question naturally, what's getting in the way? What are we allowing to pull us away from listening to God's word, sitting at Jesus' feet? Is it good things, like Martha? Sometimes we can get so caught up in service and helping others connected with the church that we forget that, hey, that's right, we're a people that gather around the Bible. Or another good godly work is parenting. What a great godly service that is. But with school and homework and sports and activities and family time and travel and vacation and so on, are we letting all of those good things shove God's word down our priority list? Another good thing is work. Work is a gift from God, but are we working so much that we're forgetting about the one thing that we truly need? I think if we're being honest with ourselves, there are a lot of other less than noble reasons that we get pulled away from God's word. Services, yes, but more like streaming services, like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. Or a guilty conscience that doesn't want to hear a rebuke. Or a dulled conscience that thinks, I'm good. I don't need to hear it. I know it all. Lord, I don't really need your word right now. We fool ourselves. Is that really, if we're trying to provide a good moral foundation for our children, is that really the attitude that we want to be passing on? I know there are a lot of reasons and a lot of other factors, but I don't find it a coincidence that Christianity is declining in this country and yet growing elsewhere. So we're a people of God who love God's word. So why are we letting this happen? Is it that we think that God's word isn't powerful enough? Maybe sometimes we doubt that, but no, we know that God's word is living and active. Is it that we feel that we're not going to get much out of worship or Bible study? Or that we don't connect to the pastor or teacher? But no, we're not here to connect to the pastor or teacher. We're here to connect to God. It's his word. And no matter if we think there's this much that's useful or this much that's useful, there's always something that we can glean and learn and apply to our lives. So what is it? Whatever it is, we're allowing it to push God's word down our priority list. We're making sitting at Jesus' feet an addition to our lives instead of the basis of our life. And yet 80% of American Christians say they want to feel closer to God. You'd think that God would do the opposite. Not bring us closer, but push us away. But he doesn't. He invites us all the more to come and sit at his feet and learn from him. And wow, does he have a lot to say. He doesn't just give us John 3:16, he gives us a whole Bible. He doesn't just give us one testament, he gives us two. He doesn't just give us one gospel, he gives us four. He doesn't just give us one letter of Paul, he gives us 13. The dude loved to write. Gives us 9 other letters on top of that. Doesn't just give us one Sunday per year to worship him. He gives us one Sunday per week. And he doesn't just give us 1 hour per week, 0.6% to glorify him. He gives us that plus the other 99.4. And he gives us his word to guide us in doing that. Why? Because he knows we need it. As Jesus said, it's the one thing needed. Yes, we need food and shelter and work and income and rest and fun. But the one thing we truly, truly need is listening to God's word. And the message that is in there is something that we really do need. We need to have that rebuke strike our complacent or our worried hearts. Brock, Brock, those are good things you're doing, but you're forgetting about the one thing needed. Brock, Brock, those are not good things that you're doing. Don't forget about what I say about such things and those who do them, in the one thing needed. We need to hear that. We all do. And we all know that we sin enough to where we need to hear it more than 0.6%. But there's also a message in there that we need to hear. And God be praised, he doesn't leave it at just the first message. No, and this is what the whole Bible is all focused on. Now, I've shared a lot of numbers with you so far. A lot of research, a lot of stats. Let me share another number with you. According to my research, in the Bible, it says that 100% of your sins are forgiven. Not 0.6%, not 23%, 80%, not even 99%. 100% of your sins are forgiven, even the ones that ignore God's word. And that's true not just for American Christians, not just for Chinese and Indian Christians, not just Christians. Everyone, 100% of people have had 100% of their sins paid for by the blood of Jesus. But don't take my word for it. Come, sit at your Lord's feet and hear it from his mouth. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He says, this is what is written in the scriptures. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Spoiler alert for those who like good books. There's a lot more of that in the Bible. A lot more. You want to feel closer to God? There is no one better to do that than the Word incarnate who gave himself to bring you near to God. You want to have a good moral foundation for your kids? You want to become a better person? You want to have comfort in times of trouble and sorrow? There's nothing in this world that is better at that than the Word of the one who defeated everything that threatens that. You know all of that. It's just good to be reminded often. We all know that we can do a better job of prioritizing God's word. So, let this gospel lesson be a wake-up call, or at least an encouragement for some introspection. What is it that is pulling you away from God's word? Whatever it is, God's word is better. So listen to the voice of your Savior as he invites you and says, Christian, Christian, sit at your Lord's feet. We all know it's the best place to be. Amen. Please stand. May the message of Christ dwell in your heart richly. Amen. We now confess our faith in what Jesus, the Word incarnate, did for us. According to the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In God's word, he says that we can pray to him, and he encourages us to do that together. So we do that again here with the prayer of the church. As part of the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, but especially on our minds and hearts. Martha Schmidt, Dan Cummins' sister Debbie, Josh Castagnola's father, and my aunt and uncle Judy and Walter Groth, who are undergoing some procedures. We also include a prayer for those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. We pray. O Lord, light of the world and saving strength of your people, we thank you for the gift of your word. Implant it in the hearts of your people so that, set free from the power of Satan and the fear of death, we may live to serve and honor you. Pour out your spirit on us that we may grow richly in divine knowledge and spiritual understanding. Bless the proclamation of your word everywhere so that hearts may be turned from darkness of spiritual ignorance, falsehood, and despair to the light of knowledge, truth, and life. Be with our missionaries in our own and distant lands. Protect them, encourage them, and crown their labors with success. Let your word shine in our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love and serve one another in kindness and humility. Watch over the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, and the weary. Preserve those who are in danger of body and soul. Supply us by the grace of Jesus with the Spirit's power, that we may ever be comforted by your truth and sustained by your love. Word of God incarnate, you tell us that you care for us and watch over us. Bless all those who are faced with health challenges this week. Remind them all of the comfort you give through your word and of the strength of your love for them. Holy Spirit, please make your presence known in the lives of those celebrating birthdays this week. Strengthen them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life, which bring immense meaning to each new day. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. For these and all other things you know we need, we confidently ask in the name of him who gave himself for us that we might live through him, Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us You may remain seated. I'm supposed to make you stand there. We'll continue with hymn 756 in the Blue Songbooks, We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, 293, God's Word is Our Great Heritage. Morning again. It's a pleasure, as always, worshiping with you. Please stick around for Bible classes today. We have the Gospel of Luke continuing, I believe, here in the sanctuary. New Life in Christ, Bible information class. Let's meet in the Luther room today, the Luther room. We'll see if it kind of gets too full. We'll make the long walk around to the chapel, and we'll have class there. Welcome to all of our visitors this morning. If you're visiting with us, please check out the Welcome Center. We've got someone over there that can help you out there, too. Lots of gifts over there for you, too. Everything on there is free. And also a message for you as well, visitors and members. Our next Bible information class has officially been scheduled. It's going to start September 15th. That's Sunday evening at 5 p.m. It'll continue Sunday evenings after that. This is the member class. If you'd like to refresh or even just learn if you're interested in becoming a member, that's this class, September 15th at 5 p.m. There's a sign up for that also back there in the church lobby. A big thank you for all the work that happened yesterday at our campus cleanup. The place looks great. All those chips are done. Everything's beautified for the start of school coming up. So thank you to everyone who helped out. Today is going to be a disc golf outing. We meet here at the church in the parking lot at 4:30 p.m. Disc golf, come join us. It's run by the 20s and 30s, but everybody's invited to that. A note and a message for those in confirmation class who are not in the school. If you could message me and let me know if you're interested or if you'd like to be a part of that class, we'll start getting preparations ready for that. So non-St. Mark's school confirmation class. However, confirmation catechism class students aren't off the hook either. We're going to have a meeting coming up, just a reminder for parents and students, everyone, on Saturday. We're going to talk about some changes, a little bit of changes that's going to happen here in the catechism class. So Saturday at 10 a.m. Back to school night. Here we go. Next Sunday begins 4 p.m. Come join us for our opening worship service as we begin our 50th school year at St. Mark's. Come join us. Big day. 4 p.m. next Sunday. Coming up next month, September 14th, maybe you've seen it on Facebook already, it's our movie night, our next movie night. It's going to be God's Not Dead is the movie. It's from 2014. Good movie. So come join us 6 p.m. There's going to be free popcorn, but if you want to bring a picnic lunch, you're invited to do that. The community cook-off, maybe you've seen a few signs around the lobby for that. But that's going to be the week after that, Saturday. It's going to be from 3 to 7 p.m. If you think you can grill something up, register. We'll see what happens. The judges can judge. We'll have different categories this year. Chicken, ribs, and beans chili, I think, are the three categories. A prize for first place in each one. So check that out. Now, the community cook-off on Facebook already has over 200 people interested. So we're also going to need some volunteers. That's going to be fun. We still have a month to go yet, over a month. There's a sign-up for that back there as well. And to prepare ourselves for the movie night and the cook-off, the Board of Worship is providing these opportunities, or the Board of Outreach is providing these opportunities for you. And so come join us on September 7th. That's 2 weeks before the cook-off, one before the movie night. We're going to go tell people in the streets about, or at homes probably, about these things coming up. So join us. There's a sign-up for that as well. The day after the cook-off is Friendship Sunday, our next Friendship Sunday. So what a great opportunity here, these 2 weeks where we get to really share God's word and invite people to things. It's all going to finish off Friendship Sunday. Hopefully not finish off, but Friendship Sunday will cap it, September 22nd. For all of that, check out the Evangelism Thought of the Month. Maybe you didn't know that that's there, but on the Board of Outreach board, bulletin board, there's always an Evangelism Thought of the Month. Go check it out today. With all that, we'll now watch the Wells Connection.